I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor at Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. In this series, we're continuing to look at the teaching of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew. In chapter 10, we connect with the fact that Jesus sends us on mission. We, the church, continue his work. We're commissioned to do mission with, like, and for Jesus. Our task and our message is that of Jesus. We'll be treated as Jesus was treated. Some will welcome us while others will persecute us as we faithfully bring God's influence into our world. Get ready to open your mind and your heart to the sending and mission of Jesus.
Every day, more than 2 million people search the internet for God, for meaning, for hope. People in crisis, facing loneliness, addictions, suicide, domestic abuse, divorce, joblessness, hopelessness.
I became addicted to internet pornography.
Online gambling totally hooked me.
So I'm looking for love on the internet.
My husband was beating me. I had nowhere to turn.
I'm all alone. I have no family, no friends.
And when I got home, I had lost my job, and now I'm desperate.
I can't get thoughts of suicide out of my mind.
I'm searching for anything to fill the emptiness inside.
76 million Americans say they have no one they can confide in. With nowhere to turn, people in astonishing numbers worldwide are turning to the internet, trying to fill the emptiness inside.
Jesus saw the crowds of folks searching. He sees the crowds. He described them, and we looked at this last week in our study. He sees the crowds like sheep that have no shepherd. They're in incredible danger. He describes them as their lives being ripped apart, harassed. He describes them as helpless, without a shepherd, helpless, powerless against the sin that's in their own life and the sin that's around them. And Jesus says, I'm sending you to bring hope to this world. I'm sending you to let folks know that there is a shepherd who is powerful, to change and transform life and all the crud and all the evil and all the ugliness that's around. There is one who can make a difference. And we are God's plan. We're coming to the third teaching section of Matthew. Matthew collects Jesus' teachings into five teaching sections, and we're looking at the third one. It's found in Matthew chapter 10, and I'll go ahead and turn to your Bibles there or turn on your device, Matthew chapter 10. And in this, we find that Jesus is going to send his disciples on their very first mission. Let's take a look. Let's just start right in chapter 10, right at the first verse. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles, and then each of the apostles are listed by name. This is the first time in Matthew's gospel that these 12, they've been called the 12 before, they've been called the 12 disciples. This is the first time that they're called apostles. What's changed? Well, a disciple literally means a learner. They had been called to Jesus. They had been learning from Jesus. And now the change is that they are now not only disciples, but they are also becoming apostles. And the simple, core, natural meaning of the word apostle is this. An apostle is one who is sent to accomplish a task or deliver a message under the authority of the one who sent them. That's exactly what's happening here.
He is now sending his disciples, and he identifies them now as apostles. And it's interesting, I think the significance here is that the term, the title, apostle, isn't so much about privilege, about position, about pedigree. It's about purpose and mission. And he calls them to mission. These ordinary guys. I mean, four of them we know are fishermen. Most of them we really know very little about, even today. Normal, everyday people. Matthew was for sure an outcast. Some of them were known to be have problems with their temper. In fact, violent outbursts. Two of the brothers were called sons of thunder. They had warts in their character. They were known to struggle with their faith. Over and over, Jesus has to say, "Where is your faith? Oh, you of little faith." These ordinary folks. Later in the book of Acts, folks describe them as they're doing these profound things in the name of Jesus. They say, "Who are these unschooled, unlearned people?" When Jesus sends us to make a difference in this world, he sends ordinary people like you and me. Just like he did with the apostles, he sends ordinary people to make an extraordinary difference. He sends us, some of us who maybe didn't finish school, some of us maybe who just had a GED, some of us who may have a doctorate. Men, women, engineers, folks who work in retail, military, public service, it doesn't matter. God uses each and every one of us without position, without privilege, without pedigree to make a difference in this world. He sends us out to make a difference. Now, as he gets ready to send his apostles out, he gives them instructions on how they're to go and what they're to do and what they're not to do. And as we look at these instructions, don't think of them as just instructions for 12 apostles 2,000 years ago. These are also instructions for us. They're just as relevant to us today as they were back when he first gave them. So continue and look in verse 5 and 6. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. You know what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, go to your hood first. It's exactly what he's saying. So look, I want you to don't go to the Gentiles and the Samaritans. I want you to go to the lost sheep of Israel. I want you to go to people of your own kind in close proximity first. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Gentiles and the Samaritans were people of other cultures, other races, other ethnicities, and in fact were not liked by the Jews. But where Jesus and the disciples were probably around the Lake of Galilee, he says, look, I don't want you going distances to reach lost people. I want you to reach the lost people right in your hood. Right around you. Now, when I first really began looking at this, these verses bothered me because I thought, is Jesus being prejudiced? Is he just saying, just hang out with your own kind? Which is not the Jesus I know. And just understand, this is their first mission. And he says, look, where you start is right where you live. Now later, when we get to chapter 28, we're going to see that Jesus says, go make disciples what? Of all nations. It's not about prejudice. This is about being very real and practical. We have to start our mission at home. And don't miss the emphasis that Jesus said. He said, go to the lost sheep of Israel. Always Jesus is intentional about sending us to people who are lost, meaning they don't have a relationship with God. They're not tapped into the power of God and all that that means. And again, I want to remind us, In these instructions, we're seeing again this very profound truth. As a disciple, we are called to be missionaries. Now, even in Jesus' own instructions, not when we think of missionaries, we oftentimes think about, you know, selling everything and going overseas. Being missionaries is oftentimes right within our own world, right within our own life, within work, where we go to school, with our family, with our neighborhood, right where we are. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, when he gave the great commandment, first part of his, of course, love God with your whole being. And then the second part, love your what? Neighbor as yourself. It starts right there with the people we know and have some kind of relationship with. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then he continues in the instructions, verse 7. As you go, proclaim this message. It's as if he's anticipating them. Well, what are we supposed to say when we go to our own hood? He says, here's your message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, I know if I would have been one of the disciples, is that it? This is the third time that Matthew has recorded this phrase. It's a profound summary of the good news. It's a profound summary of all that Jesus was teaching. The kingdom of heaven has come near. It's right in our face. God and his power have come into our lives and into our world in a very real way. God showed up in Jesus. When Jesus resurrected and ascended to his Father, he sent back to us his Holy Spirit. God is here among us. He is present. He is not distant. He is not far away. He is here and he changes everything. That's why when John the Baptist and Jesus first announced this phrase, the kingdom of God is near, they also added the word repent, because you can't just go on living the way you were when you're face to face with the power of God who's here and wants to make a difference. We are not left on our own. We have a power that enables us to experience the transformation of our character. We can have access to a power that helps us overcome our sin and the sin that's all around us. We have a power that gives us purpose and meaning and can change things in our immediate world and the distant world around us. God is here. He is active and he wants to change things. That's what we see. And these 12, these ordinary people who turned the world upside down because God came to them. You look at Matthew, this sort of a crook, outcast, probably he didn't have a friend in the world except other crooks, and his whole life, his character, his purpose was transformed. In fact, this whole Bible is a story of God being present and changing and transforming people to do some incredible, amazing things. In fact, right around us are story after story of how God has come to us, changed us, shown us a power that's beyond our human ability to truly make a difference. Jesus is God. Jesus shows us God. And Jesus helps us connect others to the power of God. And that's where Jesus goes next with his instructions. Look at verse 8. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. That's exactly what the apostles did. And we're called to continue that work. When we help connect people to Jesus, when we help connect people to God, we connect them to a power that changes life. The power to transform. Yes, God does physical healings today, an incredible miracle. But he even does a greater miracle. The miracle of a transformed character. One that can never be in any way manipulated. I mean, God changes the human heart, transforms people in a powerful, powerful. He heals our character. He heals our attitudes. He takes people who are walking dead to really experience life in its fullest. He frees us from selfishness, from fear, from anxiety. He works in powerful ways. He drives out those demons that rob us of what life is all about. Folks, that's what we're called to do, to bring Jesus to the lives of others that transforms them. Yes. I think it was about August of last summer. My son called me and said, Dad, can you call Cody? Cody was a friend that Brad had had since high school. And I knew Cody. Cody was in our house a lot of times during high school. Even attended here at Pantano once in a while. And he said, Cody wanted to stay with me. And I said, no. And his parents are kicking him out. And I said, what's going on? He goes, Dad, it's drugs. So I called Cody and he came and we met. And man, I don't remember seeing a young man as low as Cody. And so we talked, and you know, I found out a little bit about what was going on. And boy, I just give credit to his parents. They were not willing to let him stay in their house and continue with his lifestyle. That was the right decision. It put Cody in a place where he had to do something. And so I said, Cody, you need to reconnect with Jesus. And you need to deal with your addiction. And so I begged him to go to a group that's a great, great organization here in Tucson called Teen Challenge. And Cody went. Now, when he went, he didn't tell me that, so I didn't actually know what happened to him. And in November, I was at a Teen Challenge meeting, and here walks in Cody. And I was blown away. Here was a transformed young man. From death to life. I mean, it was amazing. From this kid that couldn't even hardly talk, you know, to this guy who was beaming. It was clear that Jesus had brought about a huge transformation in his life. Cody is continuing to experience healing. He's got his life back. The demons are being driven out of his life. And now God is using him to make a difference in others. That's what it's all about. That's what God has come into this world to do, to transform life. And so Jesus gives us this simple principle. Freely we've received. Think about it. We got a relationship with God, totally forgiven. We didn't earn it. We couldn't earn it. We couldn't buy it if we wanted. God gave it to us as a free gift. We call it grace. We got this gift. We have a personal relationship with God. We have access to guidance that is absolutely trustworthy, that will lead us to the best life possible now and forever. We've received it freely. And Jesus says, now give it away. Help people connect with a God who loves them and experience all that you've received so freely. And then in verses 9 and 10, Jesus says, he says, when you're getting ready for this trip, take it easy. Don't get any gold, he says, verse 9, or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Jesus is saying, look, as I'm sending you, don't worry about how everything is going to work out. Trust me. I'm sending you. I've given you a message. And I just want you to go travel light, trusting me. Now, that's really hard for us, especially here in America. Ever gone to fly lately? You know, my wife and I were in California a few weeks ago. I was at a board meeting there, and the gate agent, an hour before boarding, starts doing this announcement like every 5 minutes. Folks, we have a full flight today, and there will not be enough room in the overhead bins. Please check your luggage ahead of time. And every time the announcement would go off, I'd look around. Nobody moves, you know. We all want as much. And people have their two big full things. And sure enough, every time there's not enough bin space, you know, and people, it's incredible. And you know, we're just like to make sure we got everything covered and we have everything there. I've been a missionary. I've been a missions pastor for a number of years. I've traveled way too much. Traveling is work for me. It's not a lot of fun. And I've learned that the more I travel, the lighter to travel. This past January, I got to go to Ecuador with a group of pastors who were trying to open up a whole new work there. And I did have a suitcase, and this is what was my carry-on. And sure enough, my suitcase didn't arrive because all of my flights were delayed all the way through. And so I spent the week with this. And you know what? I really did okay. I mean, you know, I'm pretty smart. I know what to take. Travel light. You want to take your Bible, okay? That's a good thing to take. You always want to have a little emergency food. Got to have the peanut M&Ms. Protein, chocolate, I mean, it's all there. It's just perfect. And Mom was right, you know, you always want to have clean underwear, you know. And that's it, you know, that's what more do you need? Okay, no, I don't wear yellow underwear. Here's what Jesus is saying. Less is best. When he sends us on mission, it's not about figuring everything out. It's not about having everything we think we need, materially or even with knowledge or that we're the right kind of. He just says, go and be real, authentic. Let me be real in you. Let me make a difference. It's just about being available, trusting God, and going with him. I want you to hear a story of a couple that's new to our church, the Bellows. You'll pick up their accents real quick. And they've got this thing figured out about what it means to go to our hood and just be Jesus with those God has sent us to. Take a listen to their story.
I'm David. This is my wife, Maria Virginia. I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. My wife is from Montevideo, Uruguay. And we met on business in New York, and she stayed in the United States, and we got married. And we were in New York for, 21 years?
Yes.
We wanted to get involved in our neighborhood because coming from Brooklyn, we have porches. You sit on the porch, you speak to your neighbors. You get to know your neighbors. Getting to know your neighbors creates a stronger community because everybody knows each other. Everybody watches out for each other. Here in Tucson, unfortunately, everybody is in a car. The garage door opens. The car goes into the garage. The garage door closes. And then you don't see your neighbor again unless you go in the backyard and you peek over the wall and strike up a conversation with him or her. But for the most part, you just don't see your neighbor again. And we needed to find a way to break through that barrier. And Pantano Christian Church, with its Community Builders Program, helped us get the tools to do this. We found out about Community Builders when I got an email. And I forwarded it to my wife, and I asked her if she wanted to participate in this. And she said, absolutely. We were mesmerized that the church would want to be part of the community on such a deep level.
Through Community Builders, then, we just decided to have a barbecue in Case Park. We had about, about 75 people come, including children. And it was such an amazing day. You could feel God's hand into all that.
I noticed that people would know each other from different venues, either taking their kids to soccer or baseball practice. And what happened, they said, oh, I didn't know you lived in the neighborhood. You know, and it was really cool that people were connecting on a different level. So many people during the barbecue said, thank you for doing this. We really wanted to have this for the longest time.
We just started to have the outcome that we wanted as creating friendships and getting to know the neighbors and getting to build the community through just by knocking on the doors and getting all these people aboard. To help us and volunteer for the event.
If anybody is thinking of getting involved in doing a barbecue or anything in the neighborhood, go ahead and do it. You will be so humbled by the people that are going to come forth and want to help you out. It sounds like a big job, but with everybody's help, it makes it a lot easier.
Jesus says, go. He's sending us to real people who he describes as sheep without a shepherd, harassed and helpless, in spiritual danger, in great need. And he says, go. And he says, you know, just keep it simple. It's not about what you know or don't know. It's not about what you have or don't have. It's not about who you are in terms of status or prestige. It's just simply he needs and wants you. That's it. You. He's depending on you to go to your family, to your neighborhood, to your school, to your work, to your gym, whatever it is you're connected with, go. And trust me. Be authentic as you follow me, and I will make a difference in and through you. That's it. And so what I want to challenge each and every one of us is to discover, or certainly to clarify, the mission that God has given us. To the lost sheep of Israel, so to speak, to those folks right in our own hood. Who is God sending us to? And I want to challenge you to courageously pray, God, to whom are you sending me? Genuinely, consistently praying that prayer. God, who are you sending me to? And then, go. At Pantano, our mission is very simple. Loving people to Jesus. It's not about having all the right answers. It's not about being clever. It's not about having the right program. It's simply loving people to Jesus. We're obedient to the Lord. We go and we just simply do what he's commanded us to do. To love our neighbor as ourself. That's what we're called to do. Father God, speak to each and every one of us right now. Speak to us about who you are sending us to. To be your face, your hands, your feet, your mouth. Your love to those folks that you deeply care about. And God, put on our heart the same compassion that you have for the crowds. May our hearts be broken and wrecked as your heart is broken and wrecked. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to come into a time of communion and offering now. And, you know, just thinking about some of this, a lot of us, in fact, I'm going to go ahead and say all of us, we're carrying extra baggage with us, right? Glenn's talking about packing light and being able to travel light. And a lot of us are carrying these huge chests around dragging them with us everywhere. And it's stopping. I know it stops me occasionally from being able to be used by God, from being able to be an effective hand and foot. So as we come into a time of communion now, I just want you to take just a moment and just ask God, hey, God, what am I carrying? What am I holding on to? What am I dragging with me that stops me from being able to be used by you? And then after that, we're going to go into a time of offering. And some of us, man, our biggest baggage is financial. And God tells us in his word, you know what? If we're faithful to give, that we can trust that he will bless us beyond anything that we could give. And that we could be more usable, because maybe it's our money that God requires to be used. So as we do these things, let's go before the Lord. Let's ask him what we need to give. And then let's do these two things, communion and offering. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much for a challenge. God, use us. We want to be used by you, God. Use our money, use our time, use our effort, God. Give us the discipline to do these things. We love you and we ask it all in Jesus' name.